quite
unusual.
Hello, and welcome to a quite unusual podcast. We're your hosts. I'm Noelle.
I'm Nicole.
And we're going over a jolly old England today.
That was a little Australian you was had it? In there.
Man, fuck. Fuck shit. Oh shit, oh fuck.
One of the first things that Noelle asked me when we sat down to record this was, is he Scottish? And I was like, yes. And then I was like, but he lived in London. She was like, okay, cool. I'm just trying to decide on what accents I can do here. Like, okay, yeah.
Because I can do a pretty fucking banging Scot.
You can. And that was actually going to be my first, the first thing I told you before we started this was, you're going to love this guy. Well, not in that. You're not going to love him.
But I won't love him.
You're going to love this episode because it's a Scottish guy. And you have the Scottish accent.
I've got a bit of Scottish.
Scottish.
Yeah, I can't wait to fucking rail on this piece of shit with my Scottish accent.
I can't wait either. Also, I do have to shout out before we start and, like, I don't know, really get into it. So I did that thing again where I might have done too much research.
Yeah. See, Nicole's a serial over-researcher, and I'm a serial change the subject at the last minute and then under-research it.
When we opened this, I thought that I had written 14 pages. Turns out it's 19. So
when I looked at the script on, I think it was Thursday. I think it was 14 pages.
And you're was it?
Yes, it absolutely was.
I thought it was only 14.
And you're like, oh, I just have a little bit more research to do. I was like, so warning this, we don't know if this is going to be a two-parter.
Yeah, because you never know. Like, I don't know. I also feel like I'm the type of
cryptid
speaker that, like, also, I don't know, I feel like we get through mine quicker too. So I don't know. We might, I don't know.
We'll see what happens. This is a mystery.
I don't distract myself. Maybe I distract you too much during our other episodes. But yeah,
well,
so
I'm gonna say I also probably have some trouble concentrating on things all the time. so there's that too.
Yeah, there's so we'll just we'll see where this takes us, and then if we have to break it up in two, I do have a good breaking up point. So but also I wanted to just kind of ask, do you guys even like two-parters?
Yeah.
I put a poll on our Instagram. But
this episode will come out 24 hours after that poll.
Yeah.
Has been posted. So
if you didn't vote in that, then
sucks to suck. Get your time machine out.
DM us. I don't know. I don't know.
I'll post a new poll tomorrow too.
Yeah, I want to make sure that we're doing also, like, how long do you like the episode? So yeah, let us know. Let us know what works for you guys, because we're here to serve.
We're not worthy. Truly, though, we want to give you people what you want. So
yeah,
tell us what you want, what you really, really want.
I do have another thing to mention. So I don't know if you guys know this, but we record our unscripted videos or our unscripted episodes that we do. And we post those videos to our Patreon, so our Patreons kind of get, like, the behind-the-scenes content. Well, one of our patrons, Mike A.
Shout out, Mike.
Shout out, called out that there is an orb in our last Quite Unscripted video behind-the-scenes content, and it appears, like, in the back right corner, and it just, like, kind of trickles down and then disappears.
Yeah.
So we got to post that too. We'll post that for you guys to see.
Yeah, we'll isolate that and then we'll put it on the grid. Also, if you guys want to watch us say the words that you're hearing with our beautiful faces.
Penile velocity.
If you want to hear us say penile velocity, you always wondered what that looked like on our face. if you join the Patreon, like Nicole said, we do put out videos. And we're playing with the idea of possibly doing that as a live also. Yeah. For Patreon only.
We got to do more middle class fancy too, brah.
Oh, dude, we got to.
Yeah.
I want to go to Texas Roadhouse, babe.
Freaking too.
Do you want to be my Valentine's date for Texas Roadhouse?
Yes.
For real?
Yes.
For real?
Absolutely. Well, so we'll have another middle class fancy out.
Before the end of the month, we're committing to it.
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
For sure.
Also, we have a Valentine's Day surprise coming for you guys. We have our We have our Strange Encounters episode coming out on Valentine's Day.
We do.
With the beautiful and elegant and so wildly intelligent and interesting Darcy Staniforth.
Our bestest friend.
A slam piece in her own right.
One part of the three slam pieces that is Noelle, myself, and Darcy.
That's right. We have a street gang. It's called the Slam Pieces. We also have an a cappella group called the Do No Harmonizers. So that is coming out on Wednesday. Yes. Make sure you tune into that. And that's all the housekeeping I have. It is Valentine's week.
It is Valentine's week, which is actually funny because this is kind of, I don't know if you would call it a happy Valentine's Day episode.
Okay. Well, I don't know a lot about this, but I'm gonna say
it's like it's not a love story, but it's not a love story.
Oh, okay.
It's kind of
like Beauty and the Beast. This is a tale as old as time.
No. It's very bad. Yes, I guess not spoiler, but
it's not a spoiler because you're gonna.
No, what's the thing that you say before like a warning? That's the word I'm looking for. So warning for anyone because this is a murder.
Oh, sure.
Murder story. There's could be some gross details. So just throwing that out there. If anyone's like in a car listening with children,
Teach them young about serial murderers.
Maybe you're not a regular mom. Maybe you're a cool mom and that's cool and it's okay. But just heads up on this one because it's been a while
since we did
a murder episode.
Fuck yeah, dude. We slayed that shit.
So I felt as though it were time, and you know, I'm a true crime girly.
She is a true crime girly.
I watch it to fall asleep. It relaxes me. It's just like, you know.
You know, a lot of women say that, and I truly think it's like a no, like, keep your enemies closer thing. Like, all of us are, like, deeply comforted by true crime.
Yeah.
And it does feel a lot like know thy enemy. Like,
it is.
Like, if I can fall asleep to this, I can murder someone as they're trying to murder me.
Yeah, well, now I know how to get out of this situation because this person did this or this person didn't do that. But, yeah, I love true crime.
Yeah.
Big fan. And this guy, actually, Dennis Nilsson, he reminds me of a Scottish Jeffrey Dahmer. He even, like, has the glasses and the look. So
he looks so much like him.
Right?
He looks so... But it was, like... It was the time.
It was the style in the 70s. But I just want to say, keep that in mind while you're listening to this, because it was like every little thing that I had come across while doing this research. It was exactly like Dahmer.
Even the chocolate factory?
No, there's no chocolate factory.
Oh, no.
That's the one thing that he doesn't have. But I feel like a lot of people don't know about this case. And from my research, it seems like it's a very, very, very well-known case in the UK. Like I said, Dennis is kind of like the Jeffrey Dahmer of the UK.
Yeah.
In a way. Some call him the Muswell Hill murderer. Others call him Britain's most evil serial killer.
Which is interesting.
Why is it interesting?
I don't know. Maybe because, I don't know.
But yeah, so this is the story of Dennis Andrew Nilsson.
Dennis, D-A-N, Dan. Dan, the murder man.
Oh, God. So Dennis was born on November 23rd, 1945 in Fraserburgh, Aberdeenshire.
It's probably like, this is a
thing. There's a lot of words in one word.
In the United States of America, we don't even pronounce the names of our own cities correctly, phonetically.
No, we don't.
When we try to say British words,
Aberdeenshire,
they're like, you fucking idiot, it's Aberdeenshire.
Right.
It's like, oh, sorry, fuck. I'm
sorry,
oh shit. Oh,
I didn't grow up there.
Yeah, so I guess tell us if it's not Aberdeenshire.
No, fucking don't tell us. I don't want to know. Just let it go, okay? Live your life if I pronounce anything wrong. It'll be fine. You'll be fine. I'll be fine. Everyone will continue with their day, okay?
I want to know.
I don't.
Don't tell Nicole, but you tell me.
So he was the second of three children born to Elizabeth White and Olav Mocksheim. His father, Olav Mocksheim, was a Norwegian soldier with the adopted surname of Nilsson. He came to Scotland in 1940 as a part of the Free Norwegian Forces during the German occupation of Norway. So when Hitler took over Norway, he was a part of the armed forces that fled, and they fled to several other countries, and they sort of joined forces with the other allied countries to continue the fight against the Nazis. So he met Dennis's mother during this time, and after a very short courtship, they married in May of 1942.
So they met, and then 1 week later, he's like, I have to say something to you. You like crackers. I also really love crackers. We have so much in common. Do you want to eat crackers together forever? And she was like, yeah, I got nothing else to do.
Kind of, probably.
That's so nice, actually.
Yeah. Well, also, I think that that was just like a thing. Like, everyone was going off to war.
Yeah.
And they're like, chances are we're probably not coming back.
Yeah.
So let's just do this now, you know?
Yeah.
What I got to lose? Nothing.
Besides my life.
Besides my life.
Besides my life and my wife. What do I got to lose?
I mean, I'm fighting Nazis here. It's not
Nazis.
Great.
Killing Nazis.
Killing Nazis. Let's see, where was I? So they married, and then they moved into her parents' home in Scotland, because he was kind of like, he didn't really have a place, because like I said, he fled Norway. Dennis's parents faced many marital problems, as his father was pretty engrossed in the Free Norwegian Forces and all of the duties that were a part of that.
Mm.
He didn't prioritize married life, and he also didn't spend any time trying to find a home for his wife or children.
Oh, cool. Okay. So he's just like, let's get married. And then that's exactly where the thought stopped.
Uh-huh. Pretty much.
I have to go to work now.
He's like, you like crackers, I like crackers, let's get married. And then,
okay, bye.
Bye. So they just lived with her parents because, I mean, he wasn't doing anything to, like, try to find them a place to stay. And she's like, I'm a woman and it's 1942. What the fuck do you want me to do? Like, you know. So his mother feeling that, Dennis's mother, feeling that she had hastily entered this marriage agreement, especially after their third child's birth, she decided that she was going to divorce Olav. And this was in 1948. So they married in 42, divorced in 48. Just 6 years.
Oh, is Dennis a middle child?
He is the middle child.
He's the middle child and he's a Sagittarius? Late November.
November, yeah. Wow. Is December? When does Sagittarianism start?
Sagittarianism? I believe it starts in...
At birth?
It does start at birth. Generally, that's when you become a Sagittarius. I don't know. It's probably like around, I feel like it's usually around like the 20th of the month is when it changes.
Oh, yeah, 22nd.
Yeah.
So, yeah, he's a very, very early Sagittarius in.
So he's a Scorpio Sag cusp. Is that right?
Yes. He was the 23rd. And then, yes, Sagittarius starts the 22nd.
Whoa.
So
he's a middle child and a Scorp Sag cusp.
Yeah.
Yeah. What's all this thing?
That's the first of many. But during those 6 years of their marriage, like I said, Olav was rarely home with his wife and his kids. The couple's children, Olav Jr.
Olav 2. I think that would be cuter.
Are you saying that because you know I'm reading Dune and it's Leto 2?
No.
No? I'm positive that's probably why you just did that. Pretty sure.
Olav 2.
Olav 2. So it's Olav II, Dennis, and then the youngest was their daughter, Sylvia. And they were all conceived during brief visits by their father. As, like I said, he spent most of his time with the resistance fighting Nazis.
That's not the only thing that was brief.
Nice. Elizabeth's parents, Andrew and Lily White, disapproved of Olav, her choice for a husband at the time, but they were supportive of her decision to divorce him.
Hell yeah.
And they helped with her with raising their three grandchildren. They were like, yeah, get this man out of your life. He's basically not even here anyways. We'll help you raise the kids. We're basically doing it anyways. He's never here.
I heard that her mom, Lily White, which also amazing name, right?
Mm-hmm. White spelled with a Y too, which makes it even cooler.
White. Instead of calling him Olav, she just called him Olflav.
Olflav.
That wasn't funny at all.
Wait, where is it?
Fuck. That wasn't funny.
As a child, Dennis was very shy, but he was also kind of curious. He was a little adventurous. You know, he's got that Sagittarian spirit inside of him. His earliest memories included family picnics in the Scottish countryside. And Dennis also recalls how his grandparents were devoutly religious.
That does sound like a thing that everyone was, though.
Right? It's like the 40s.
Yeah, know? That's for sure. Like in Scotland.
Yeah.
And it feels like that's the, for sure thing.
Dennis was extremely close with his grandfather growing up, and he especially cherished their long countryside walks. And these walks often were joined by his older brother, Olaf too.
Olaf too.
Or Junior, whatever you want to call him. And his younger sister, Sylvia. And it really left a lasting impression on 5-year-old Dennis, who vividly recalled the extensive routes along the harbor and the beach and the sand dunes.
It sounds delightful.
Right?
Yeah, it sounds very beautiful.
Gorgeous. Despite his young age, Dennis characterized this phase of his childhood as just a time of, like, content. He was just contentment. He also called his grandfather his great hero and protector.
Aw.
His grandfather was really the only father figure Dennis had in his life, as we know. Olaf Senior one, I guess. He wasn't there, like, at all.
No, he was, like, busy, like, fucking off with the free Norwegians or whatever he was doing.
Yeah, exactly. Which, I mean, it's a good thing to be, like, wasting your time with.
Oh, sure,
like,
also,
maybe don't have a wife and, like, 3 kids.
Like, so many children.
Keep having kids.
No.
You know?
He's like, hey, what if we had a baby? Okay, bye!
To fix the marriage each time. Yeah, not great. Dennis's grandfather was a fisherman and was sometimes gone for long stretches of time, in which Dennis said that life would just be completely empty for him until he returned.
So he would, like, wait at the window for his grandfather to return from fishing.
Kind of like his mom probably waited for his dad to return for more.
Like, they would just, like, sit near each other and just be like,
yeah. Sighing heavily.
Sigh out the window while her mom is like, can someone fucking help me do the dishes or some shit, please?
Guess I'll chop these potatoes my fucking self.
Again.
Gotta wash and dry here.
No. Please sit by the window and look longingly for the men in your lives. Please.
In 1951, Dennis's grandfather was getting older and older, but despite this, he continued to work because, I mean, that's also kind of what just men did. They worked till, like, the day they died.
Yeah.
And on October 31st, happy Halloween, 1951, while he was out fishing in the North Sea, Dennis's grandfather sadly died of a heart attack, and he was only 62 years old.
That is very sad.
Yeah.
Also, have you gotten onto the North Sea TikTok algorithm?
No.
Oh my God.
What?
So I don't know how it happened. I'm sidebarring so hard because this is so upsetting.
No, please do.
So I feel like many people I have talked to are like, how did I get on North Sea TikTok?
What even is it?
Okay. I don't know. It's just like ships, but in like the North Sea, like big like shipping vessels or like cargo ships or like weird shit. It is so fucking
And the TikTok
weird.
Is just like a video of these
It's like
ships?
People like on these ships and stuff like I don't know how else to describe it besides like North Sea TikTok. It is a weird thing that has wormed its way into my algorithm somehow.
I'm going to look that up.
It is so fucking weird. I promise you if I open TikTok, I'm either going to get a video of someone stuck in a cave or someone from like North Sea TikTok. Like this is like the algorithm that I have
really?
Like gotten into somehow.
It's okay. My TikToks are like fizzing videos of like fizzing jewelry.
You do love those though.
But I do love them.
Like, yeah. These are all, every one of them is the same too. They use the same audio. It's like, yo ho.
Fucking I've heard that audio, but like, yeah.
It's just ridiculous. And I don't know how I got there or why I got there.
Like, what is the draw to it? Is it funny or?
No, it's just like.
It's just boats.
It's just fucking boats, man. It's like, yo ho. It's just like a wave. So I'm like, yeah, I'm going to watch this completely.
Cool.
And then I go to the next one and it's like, this man was stuck in a cave head first. I'm like, ah, get away from me.
Your algorithm must have bled into mine because I'm getting cave videos now too. So
I feel like TikTok is like doing this though. It's like the one that's like pushing these videos because everyone seems to be on Cave Talk right now.
Yeah, right.
Like everyone's
on Cave
Talk.
I feel like they do that. So
yeah, and I'm so much so that I'm doing a fucking cave story for our next thing.
Cave Talk.
Everyone's on Cave Talk. Because I can't
ridiculous.
I can't stop fucking thinking. I'm having dreams about people stuck in caves and shit. It's so fucking scary. And it's like I never thought I was claustrophobic until I got onto Cave Talk.
Yeah. I think everyone's probably claustrophobic if you're in the right situation.
You're stuck in a, don't watch yeah. So As Above So Below if you're not on Cave Talk right now.
Okay.
Sorry for that tangent.
It's all right.
North Sea TikTok has taken over my fucking
life.
Well,
now everyone's going to have to look it up. I'm looking it up after this.
I said it enough that everyone's phones have listened to it and it's going to start showing up in their algorithms.
Mm.
Yeah, for sure.
Well, anywho.
Sorry.
Dennis's grandfather's death was like very, not traumatic to him, but like it was one of the things in his childhood, I guess, that kind of really stood out the most to him, because he also says that one of his like most vivid childhood memories, or a memory that sticks out with him the most, is that of his mother just weeping when she found out that his grandfather had passed away. Also, it was the first death really that he had experienced as a person. And I mean, I can think of like the very first death of like somebody close to me when I was younger. Like that shit stays with you.
Yeah, absolutely. And his grandpa was like his favorite person. And he left and then simply didn't come back alive.
So it was pretty rough on him.
That's tough.
So his mom actually asked little Dennis if he wanted to see his grandfather.
Ooh.
And when he was shown his grandfather laying in his coffin, his mother told him that his grandfather was just sleeping and that he had gone a better place.
Oh, I'm not a parent, so I don't know the way to handle this.
Yeah, I don't think anyone really does. There's not like a good way.
Like, is it? I do remember the first time I ever saw like a dead person.
But if you go to a wake, that's what it is.
Yeah.
I mean, as a kid, I hated going to wakes because of having to see dead people. But like, what are you gonna do? Be like, I'm not going to the wake of.
Like your
my
grandfather. Like, yeah, I don't know. I don't know the proper way to handle this, but I can imagine that also, he can probably picture that because I know I can picture.
Right.
Yeah.
And he was like he said, he was like, oh, he just thought he was sleeping. Like he had gone to a better place. He just looked like he was sleeping. Because I mean, they do look like they're just sleeping.
Yeah. Oh, for sure.
That's why it's so unsettling, because you're like, they're real, but actually they're dead. But like you're doing all these things to make them look real and like they're sleeping. And it's like confusing as a kid. Yeah.
I don't want to be insensitive, but it is like. Insensitive, but like it is like uncanny valley.
It is,
because
100%.
Like that's not like them anymore.
Yeah, it's not them, but then they do everything to make it look like them when they were alive. Oh. But you know that they're dead, but then you're seeing them like trying to act as if they're alive. It's
I don't know.
I don't like it.
It's a weird place to be for a child. It's got to be so, like, it's so confusing.
Right.
So poor Dennis.
Yeah.
I'm feeling bad for him at this point.
You can feel bad for little Dennis.
Yes.
We're not feeling bad for older Dennis.
No, fuck adult Dennis.
Yeah.
But baby Dennis, I do.
Baby Dennis is fine.
Yeah, for sure.
After Dennis's grandfather died, Dennis kind of like, I don't know, stopped really like being social. Like he preferred his alone time. He became extremely quiet. He spent a lot of his time alone and chose to spend his time alone. And a lot of times he would just kind of like walk around by the harbor, watching the fishing boats, kind of like what he used to do with his grandfather his grandfather was alive. He ended up distancing himself from the rest of his family and withdrew himself whenever anyone tried to show him any love. So he was just kind of like it really fucked with his head. He thought that his mother and his grandmother paid more attention to his older brother and younger sister, which is classic middle child syndrome.
Classic middle child.
I'm a middle child too.
Like, me too.
Understand it. Like, we get it, right?
I feel you, Dennis.
Yeah. But also, he also wasn't like trying to participate with the family. So what did you expect?
Right.
You know, like they're like, hey, we're going to play this game. And he's like, I'm going to go walk by this harbor by myself. And then he, like, walks by the house and they're all laughing and just, like, looking through the window. And he's like, they don't love me.
It's like that meme of the person throwing the stick under their own bicycle spoke.
Yeah, like, you kind of did that to yourself.
He big daddied himself.
He did big daddy himself. He was also very jealous of his older brother, Olaf Jr., because...
Olaf, too.
Yeah, because his name was Olaf, too.
Yeah.
And he was just Dennis.
Yeah.
No, I'm just kidding. But Olaf Jr. was super popular, and everyone loved him. And because of this jealousy, he was actually closer to his younger sister, Sylvia. And he only really played and talked with her. So, like, once he distanced himself after his grandfather's passing, Sylvia was then his new favorite member of the family. After a few years, Dennis's mother moved herself and her three children out of her parents' house, or I guess it would have just been her mother's house now, which is kind of sad that she's, like, choosing now to leave, you know?
Yeah, it's, like,
it's kind of rude.
It's like, oh, since Dad's dead, I feel like right. you probably want to be alone,
right.
even though you haven't
you
been alone for years.
You would think she would stay, like, you know?
Maybe, but, I don't know, maybe her mom wanted to be alone, too, though.
That's true. Maybe she wanted her own spot. She definitely wanted to move on and meet another man, mm-hmm. which she did. She met a builder named Andrew Scott, and she ended up remarrying. And the two of them had an additional four children.
Nope, that's a lot.
So Dennis was now even more of an afterthought. And once she met this man, the family moved to Strachan.
Okay.
Strachan, Scotland in 1955.
So Dennis is only 10 at this point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And there are seven children.
Yeah. So he's the second oldest of seven.
And there's a new daddy.
And yeah, Daddy Andrew.
Daddy Andrew. Daddy Drew.
Daddy Drew. Initially, Dennis hated his stepfather. He thought that he was unnecessarily strict, but then he eventually came to respect him and things were fine. And as Dennis grew up, he discovered that he was gay and that he was that was extremely confusing for him. And he was also very shameful of it. So he kept it a secret and he hid it from his friends and family.
I mean, at this time, that wasn't like there wasn't like an out community, really,
no.
Especially in, I don't know, I feel like it was. I don't know.
It was 1955. So, yeah.
It was shameful.
The gay community was not accepted.
It was extremely underground.
Yes.
Yes, for mm-hmm. sure.
And so this is where things get a little messed up. So Dennis discovered that the boys in which he found himself attracted to all resembled his little sister Sylvia in some kind of way. Like they would have like the same color hair or like, I don't know, like the same things. And like those were the boys that he was interested in.
Okay.
And so like he comes to this realization, I guess. And because of this, Dennis decided to sexually abuse his little sister Sylvia by fondling her to see if this would fix his homosexuality.
Okay. Not great.
Terrible.
Don't like it.
So he thought the reason he might be attracted to these boys only manifested because they reminded him of his sister. And remember, he cared for her so much. Like, she was his favorite member of the family. So he was like, oh, maybe that's why I like these boys. He was trying to, like, find reasons
it away.
For not being gay.
Yeah.
Even though, like...
He's like, oh, I'm not gay. I just want to fuck my sister.
Right.
Like, it's...
That's better.
Like, oh, my God. Wait, no, that makes perfect sense.
But, like, I mean, at this time, I feel like him wanting to fuck his sister probably would have, like, in his brain, would have been more acceptable than him actually just being gay.
Yeah, for sure.
Which also, is so messed up.
Poor fucking Sylvia. Like, she is the victim here.
Right. So, yeah, let's just get this straight. He feels shame for liking boys.
Correct.
But zero shame for fondling his younger sister.
Correct.
Well, he did not pursue any of these boys that he was attracted to, although he said that he also fondled a teen, or he was fondled as a teen by an older boy, but he said that he, like, liked it, like, he didn't find it unpleasant.
Okay, he's got a lot going on.
There's
right
a lot
now.
Happening.
There's a
yeah.
lot happening. Mm-hmm. And all of it is not good.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So I don't know. Maybe it's that thing where, like, he was fondled by an older boy and then he was like, oh, well, then I can do this. Like, this is, you know, like that weird
yeah, it's
thing
like,
in your brain.
Like, this is just a thing that happens. It's probably yeah. like, I don't know. I can't put myself in his shoes in this.
Right.
Obviously, but like, but he's like probably like, oh, like this is what happens.
Yeah.
And like, I love my sister, but like that line got blurred because like, not that kind of love.
Right.
Dennis.
And he was like, it was basically like an experiment for himself. And yeah. he didn't really care what, like what happened to his sister along the way.
Right. Like there's a lot of mental gymnastics going on
yes.
here.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And that's very sad. So yeah.
yeah. Well, Dennis was big into molesting his siblings, I guess, because
Great.
He was later caught fondling his older brother, Olav II, while he was asleep.
Not also not great.
And because of this, Olav Jr. or two suspected that his brother was gay because he woke up and he was like, what the hell? And then he was like, oh, obviously you're gay. And he would tease him for it. He would make fun of him for it in front of everyone. He would call Dennis Hen, which I guess is a Scottish way of calling Dennis a girl.
Yeah.
And as a teen, Dennis thought that he might be bisexual, but only because he had fondled his little sister. Like, he was like, oh, actually, I think I'm just bisexual because I fondled a girl once. That was my little sister.
He's, like, doing that thing where he's, like, convincing himself that mm-hmm. he is not, like, 100% gay.
Right. He's, like, having trouble,
yeah.
like, mental issues coming to that conclusion.
Yeah.
So he's,
well,
like,
he has
doing
no support. And, like,
yeah.
you know, he's trying to fucking figure this out on his own. And he also... Right. is like weirdly ostracized from his family, which he did do a little bit himself.
right. And he's also molesting all of them. So like, why would they want to hang out with you, Dennis?
Yeah, there's a lot. Yeah.
So
he's
yeah.
employing the Dennis system pretty heavily right now.
So he's like, yeah, actually, I actually think I might be bisexual because of my sister. And it's like, no, you're actually just a pervert. Like
yeah.
that makes you a pervert.
100% a pervert.
Not bisexual.
Right.
Do not get those two things confused.
Right. Like you're actually just like, sexually abusing people
yeah,
right now.
Right, yeah, right. The older Dennis got, the more he despised his family.
All right. Well, I mean, I don't think your family's a problem here, Dennis.
Right. And he also hated Strichen where they lived. There really wasn't much to do in the town, and there weren't any opportunities for young Dennis. So he also resented that his parents were poor because they had 7 kids. And 7 mouths to feed.
That's a lot.
And he was embarrassed to invite his friends over. Like, I mean, if he even had any, I'm assuming that he didn't.
That's a pretty fair assumption, to be honest.
But according to him, he, like, wouldn't invite them over. But, like, sure, you just didn't have any. Whatever.
His friends were probably, like, older, like, seafaring men that he would, like, wave to at, like, the harbor.
Right.
Like,
they're just like, oh, that weird kid. They just know him as that weird kid. At 14, Dennis joined the Army Cadet Forces as he believed that joining the British Army was his only way to escape this miserable life that he was living.
He's not wrong, though.
Yeah, I mean, it is a way out for sure. Dennis was a very good student in school. He loved art and history, but he hated sports.
Same, big done.
In 1961, Dennis finished school and started work in a canning factory. I wish it was Chocolate Factory, though.
God damn it.
It would have been, like, spot
Come
on if it
me
were.
And you'll see.
He worked here for 3 weeks before deciding that he was officially going to join the Army with the intent on becoming a chef. Because, as mentioned above, Dennis didn't have a sporty bone in his body. So he's like, I can cook.
He's more of a baby spice, not a sporty spice.
He's, yeah. He might actually be kind of like a posh spice.
Yeah.
Or scary. We'll call him scary.
I think he was just scary also
yeah,
on
just,
top of this.
Yeah,
yeah.
So Dennis successfully completed the entrance exams and he got official notice that he was going to join the Army for 9 years starting in September 1961.
9 years?
Yeah. He started his training at St. Omer Barracks in Aldershot, Hampshire. And Dennis did extremely well in the Army. He later said that his 3 years of training in Aldershot were the happiest time of his life.
Okay.
He loved the chances to travel because he's a Sagittarius, man.
We love
to travel. We love to do it.
You and Dennis have so much in common.
Shut up. You bitch. So he loved to travel. And like that just like was a part of his training. They traveled all around. And one of his best memories was when his regiment participated in a ceremonial parade that both the Queen and Field Marshal Lord Montgomery of Almaine attended.
Oh, yeah. I know him.
That's a thing.
Long, you know, like that phrase, long live Field Marshal Lord Montgomery of Almaine.
Right.
Yeah, I think that's on the money
everyone,
there, right?
Everyone knows that.
Yeah. It's like, God bless the Queen and also Field Marshal Lord Montgomery of Almaine. That's what I've always heard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think so.
And, you know, I love British culture so much. So I think I know what I'm talking about.
Right.
Yeah. They say at the beginning of every episode of Great British Bake Off.
And that's what you judge all of your culture on.
Yeah, exactly.
Totally.
Yeah, that's thanks. Everything I know about England, I have learned from Great British Bake Off and The Crown.
And The Crown. I was going to say, you're a big Crown fan.
Yeah.
During his time at Aldershot.
Of Field Marshal Lord Montgomery fame, of course.
Nilsen's sexual desires started to emerge, but he made sure to keep his sexual orientation a secret from all of the fellow soldiers, which was probably a really good idea because I can assume he would probably just get torn apart for it.
Like, literally.
Yeah.
That's a great idea. Yes.
He avoided showering with the men because he was afraid of getting a boner in front of them.
Okay, settle down, Dennis. Like, come right. The fuck on.
Like, I don't know. Just don't look down. Like, just it's that easy.
Keep your fucking eyes closed. I don't know what to tell you. Right.
Control yourself.
Control your dick, Dennis, please.
So instead, he would choose to bathe alone in the bathroom where he could also masturbate without anyone finding out because that's like he had to get off somehow, I guess.
Well, yeah. And also that's where Emerald Fennell got the idea for Saltburn.
Oh, right.
In the bath. The bath
from Dennis.
Scene. Yeah,
from Dennis.
It was the bath scene. Yeah, that's where she
right,
got this.
Right, right. Though I think Dennis would have been the Barry Keoghan in this situation.
I think he was both. He did both. He was.
To himself?
Yeah.
Probably, right?
I think that
definitely
does track, though.
Probably definitely.
It doesn't not track.
In mid-1964, Dennis passed the catering exam and was assigned to the 1st Battalion of the Royal Fusiliers?
What the fuck is this word?
In
Fusiliers?
Fusiliers? Maybe that.
I need to look this word up.
Fusiliers?
I have never seen this word in my entire
life.
In
Osnabrück, West Germany, where he served as a private. Maybe it is a fusilier.
A name given to various kinds of soldiers. Thanks.
Oh, okay. Well, then we could just say he was assigned to the 1st Battalion of the Royal Soldiers.
Okay, wait. Let's make it. You ready?
In Osnabrück.
Fusiliers.
All right.
Like a fuselage,
but
of course.
A lear. Okay.
Okay, got it.
So while Dennis was in Germany, or I guess stationed in Germany.
Being a fusilier,
naturally. He began drinking a lot.
As one does in West Germany.
Yes. His colleague said Dennis used alcohol as a way to overcome his shyness.
Wow, you and Dennis do have a lot in common.
Hey! I don't have to drink to have a personality like fucking Dennis, okay?
I'm kidding!
I just need a glass of wine to, like, if I'm meeting people.
I'm kidding.
I will agree. Sometimes
I think we all need a little liquid courage. Well,
sometimes we need a little personality cocktail here
sometimes
and there.
Sometimes we need a
like
little.
Like if you're going on a blind date.
Personality punch.
And you don't know the person.
You take 3 to 5 shots in your car before you go into the restaurant.
You rail 5 shots before you go in. And then you're fine.
And then you order 1 to 7 cocktails if they're paying.
Yeah, which obviously they are or else you're leaving. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is that why people won't date me more than once? So I can't get a second date?
Because you're getting 1 to 7 cocktails every date you go to.
After railing 5 shots in my car beforehand.
No, I don't see anything wrong with that. That can't be why. I don't think so.
I just needed to overcome my shyness.
It's a personality shots.
It's a person. Plural. I call it my personality punch.
So in what would be a turning point for Dennis, he and a young German man got so drunk together that they passed out, and Dennis woke up on the floor of this man's flat, and he, like, woke up. He didn't really know what happened the night before.
Oh, so they, like, blacked out?
Yeah.
Okay.
Turns out nothing did. They just both kind of passed out, but this incident created, like a weird sexual fantasy in Dennis's head, because he discovered that he really got off being in a situation where his partner was not responsive or was just unconscious or worse, dead.
Was that appropriate to use?
I mean, yes. He hasn't killed anyone yet. If you did that after a murder, that would be inappropriate.
That would be fucked up.
That would be super fucked up.
Yeah.
So he also even got off on the idea of himself being the victim.
This is not...
It's right? That's another... See, that's the thing with us true crime girlies is that we're not obsessed with murder.
No.
We're obsessed with the...
It's the psychology behind it.
It's so interesting.
It is. I'm feeling like I wonder... Obviously, I don't fucking know, but he loved his grandfather so much. Definitely in a platonic way. Like love a parent.
Right.
For sure. And then he saw him dead. And I wonder if like that did something too.
Well, yeah. So he does later on.
Don't know.
He does definitely like bring up seeing his dead grandfather and how like he was like perfect and like eventually loved his, he wanted his partners to be perfect.
Right. And his mom said he's sleeping.
Right.
So like that probably was like crossed the wire.
I think it did. It definitely did. But also that
we're not blaming
seeing dead people doesn't turn you into a killer or
a murderer. Haley Joel Osment's fine, and he notoriously has seen so many dead people. So this guy, he's fine.
Yeah.
So there's no correlation.
He's thriving. I would even say.
Honestly, he looks great. He's doing great.
So yeah, I think that definitely like you're right. Like crossed a wire in this dude's head, but also.
I mean,
I
feel like it was going to be a wire that was going to be crossed no matter what.
Right. Like there's clearly something
it was
not
like predisposed
to there to begin with
being this way.
Yeah. So he also got off on the idea of himself being the victim.
That's interesting.
So much so that he started to go out of his way to put himself in situations where he would make himself vulnerable and pretend to get so drunk or actually get so drunk in the hopes that someone would try to take advantage of his unconscious body.
Okay. I do wish he had gotten some sort of help.
Yeah.
Because that is extremely fucked up.
Well, yeah. I mean, you see like what he's diagnosed with like
later on.
He doesn't like to him. This isn't weird. Like
obviously
like it doesn't click in his head. Like the normal person would be like, that's sort of fucked up that this is a thing that I enjoy.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I should do something about it. But to him, he's just like, oh, yeah, that's a thing I like.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Yeah. After serving 2 years in Osnabrück, Dennis returned to Aldershot and passed his final catering exam.
I need to know what these catering exams are also.
I know, right? Did they have to like, cook something?
I feel like he had to like make a dinner for someone and then like they rated that
they
dinner.
Judged.
And like he like stood in the corner and he was like, today I'll be serving you. That was very Australian.
Scottish.
Loch Ness. Today I'll be serving you.
Great, nailing it.
A jam made of Concord grapes, atop macerated peanuts, in between two slices of sourdough bread. Please to enjoy. I call it a PBJ. No one's ever made it before.
I was like, where is she going with that? I don't even, what is
he
this
He could
dish?
Only make PBJs.
Right.
That's all Dennis could make.
Well, I mean,
he made a mean fucking PBJ, though.
He passed his final exam, after which he was deployed to serve as a cook for the British Army in Norway, where he stayed until 1967.
Well, he only made PBJs, though?
Yeah, probably. But then he was transferred to the state of Aden, or Aden Colony, which is now a part of Yemen. And he served as a cook at the Al Mansoura prison.
Oh, okay.
And this prison was not an easy job.
I wouldn't think so.
The area itself was just very dangerous. Several of his colleagues actually lost their lives just in ambushes, like walking to the army barracks.
Oh my God.
There was just a lot of violence everywhere. And actually, Dennis while he was stationed there, was kidnapped by an Arab taxi driver and beaten until he was unconscious and then thrown into the trunk of the taxi.
Whoa.
When Dennis was pulled out from the back of the trunk, I don't know where this guy brought him somewhere and pulled him out, Dennis managed to grab a jack handle and fought back.
Oh, wow.
And so he knocked his kidnapper down and beat his kidnapper until he was unconscious. And then he locked the man in his own trunk and just left.
That's why we like true crime, because we need to learn things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like I could do that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if anyone throws you in the trunk and you can have access to your hands, the number one thing you should do is that you have to punch out the light and then stick your hand out so people can see that there's somebody
in the
trunk.
They also have like safety things now, though. Okay, but like you can open trunks from the inside.
Oh, yeah. I guess there's probably that, too. Yeah. But if you can.
I did learn the hand thing. Yeah.
I always think about that. Like,
yeah.
Like, what if you're driving one day and you see a hand? I'd be like, there's a person.
I would rear end the car.
You're going to kill the person.
Oh, yeah, you're right. I also probably wouldn't do that. I'd probably just call 911.
Call the cops.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I probably wouldn't. I think I'd be too scared to rear end the car.
You would kill the persons in the trunk. You can't do that.
What if I get their hand? Oh, no. Yeah, wait, right. Scratch that. Ah,
my finger. Okay. So,
scratch that.
So there was one good thing about living at this post, though. Dennis had his own room, so he was free to masturbate whenever he wanted.
Wow, that is a good thing.
Silver lining.
He's like, yeah, I'm alone, which kind of sucks, but I get to jack it whenever I want.
Yeah, like me and my coworkers are like getting kidnapped every day, but I get my own room so I get to masturbate all over it.
So I'm just jacking left and right. No one cares.
I jack over here. I jack over there.
That's my jacking chair right there, there where I like to do it.
There isn't a surface that I haven't jacked on.
See this surface right here? I'm going to jack it off later.
See where you're sitting? Right. See where you're sitting right there? Did that one last night.
Yeah. And this morning. It's crazy because I'm alone. I mean, yeah, I get kidnapped and like I'm super scared of dying all the time. But the freedom I get in this room is just, it's unbelievable.
So it was also here that all of his sick fantasies started to like develop even more because Dennis was alone with his thoughts in this room and his right hand.
He was alone with himself and his dick.
Yeah. So he would masturbate to the thought of having sex with an unresistant or a dead partner.
That is so...
That he, right?
Interesting.
How do you even... I guess... Well,
get,
I guess
you get there, you
he,
know?
How he discovered is when he passed out with that guy.
Yeah,
that was like
true.
When it clicked in his head. Because like, yeah. How do you even realize that that's a thing that
I don't know.
Attracted
you know,
to,
you know, I try not to yuck people's yums, but I'm gonna yuck this one.
Yuck this guy.
I'm
yuck all
yucking
of
this one.
Yuck it up.
I'm gonna yucker.
He was also. We're still talking.
I
about
feel so uncomfortable.
We're gonna talk more about masturbating. I'm sorry.
There's only like 7 more bullet points about jacking it. You guys, don't worry. It's almost.
We're almost done. He was a big fan of masturbating while naked, looking like in front of a mirror, like standing there and just like watching himself do it.
I'd fuck me. Would you fuck me?
Right. That's big Buffalo Bill energy. I guess he figured out that if he looked into a mirror, he was able to position himself so that his own face was out of view. And then he would visualize himself as, like, another man and being with another man.
Sure.
So, like, it was his way of...
Like, mind-freaked himself.
Yeah, because he obviously didn't have any partner, like, actual human partners.
Right.
So he had to, like, make do with what he had, which was his own hand.
He would use his left hand, though. Stranger in the tub.
So he had to get creative.
Yeah.
You know?
He's like, the right hand is me. The left hand?
Right. Exactly, though. Exactly. But eventually this like wasn't enough for him and he started to use his near-death experience with the taxi driver and then also just all of the dead bodies he'd seen while being stationed at Aden because they were like lying around all the time. So he used those two visuals specifically to help get himself off.
I don't like it.
Because the mirror trick wasn't cutting it. He was like, I know, that's me.
I look too alive in this mirror.
He apparently really got off on a 19th century oil painting called The Raft of Medusa.
I will give him some credit here. Napoleon used to jack off to the Mona Lisa.
Oh, okay.
So I feel
she's kind of hot.
Yeah, I'm looking at this raft.
The reason why, see, he had seen this painting once, like as a kid. And the reason why he got off to it was because in it there is an old man.
I'm looking at it right now.
Holding, I know, I looked it up too. Holding the body of an unconscious youth while they're on a raft surrounded by other either dead bodies or unconscious bodies. And this was like porn to him. Like this oil painting that he had seen once was his version of porno.
I mean, back in the day, they didn't have Pornhub.
It's true.
All they had was Raft of the Medusa.
They had to make do with what they got. After Aden, Dennis was sent back to the UK. He was assigned to serve with the Argyll and Sutherland Highlanders at Seaton Barracks in Plymouth.
Devon. I do know that one.
Devon. It's spelled Devon, okay. And he was the cook here.
He made the meanest PBJs in Devon.
Dennis was then transferred a few other times until he eventually landed in West Berlin. And it was here that he had had his first sexual experience at the age of 24.
No, okay.
Okay, well, that didn't include himself.
Gary, his left hand, and him were dating for years.
It's true. Dennis hired a female sex worker. And then after he was done, he bragged about his experience to his coworkers.
Because though when you're like having sex with a female woman and not your hand.
Like when you touch her boobs and they feel like two giant bags of sand. Like you guys know that, right?
You guys know exactly what I'm talking about, don't you?
But
it was a threesome. It was me, Gary, and her.
I mean, he was just picturing Gary the whole time. Let's be honest.
His left hand is Gary.
Yeah. So he was bragging all like about this, whatever. But on the inside, he hated it. And he would later say that sex with a woman was both overrated and depressing.
It's a bit sad, isn't it?
Which also rude. Okay.
I mean, it's not, you know.
I take offense to that.
It's not what he was into.
Well, yeah, sure.
He was but, into.
Like, you don't have to be mean about it.
The Raft of the Medusa was his was his dream, so. Anything but a raft full of dead people just wasn't going to do it for him. So I feel like if that's where the bar is,
yeah.
To like a scale from like Raft of the Medusa to a live human woman,
uh-huh.
It would make sense he wanted to stay
right
on the lower end of that scale.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
In October 1972, Dennis left the military after 11 years and returned home to live with his parents. And Dennis was constantly pestered by his mother to find a girlfriend.
Because she didn't want him living with her.
Yeah, she was like, find a wife and get the fuck out of my house.
Yes.
Like, I don't blame her either. He's just in his room. And she's like, what is he doing in his room all
dun-dun.
Of the time?
Da-da, da-da, da-da. Yeah, just Goodbye Horses playing on repeat. She's like, Dennis, it's fucking 3 a.m.
Stop playing that song.
Stop asking if someone would fuck you too, okay? I don't even know what that means.
These walls are paper thin. We can all hear you.
Dennis!
So Dennis and his older brother, they...
Olaf too,
yeah. They got into a heated argument about gay rights. And this was after they had viewed, I guess, they had gone to see a documentary about... gay rights, I guess, and
okay.
They got into an argument about it because Olaf too was homophobic.
Oh no, really?
Yeah,
that's crazy.
And Dennis was obviously like supportive of gay rights, and their argument was because like Olaf was like, "No, I'm a homophobe." So,
okay,
yeah.
So I mean, Dennis was gay,
right?
And then Olaf too was like, "No,
yeah, he like hated gay people,"
that's
and then
terrible.
That's what
that's
their
terrible.
Argument was about. So after the argument, Olaf told the family that Dennis was gay. After which, Dennis pretty much cut off contact with his family. He never spoke to his older brother again, and he only maintained contact with the rest of his family by letter. So after he left his family and basically cut off complete contact with them, he decided to join the police force and he moved to London. And in 1973, Dennis was a cadet and a junior constable. Dennis liked being a cop, but he was extremely lonely living in London because he had no friends and no family because they were all in Scotland.
And being homophobic.
Yeah. And so he began drinking heavily again. Dennis started to go to gay bars and he started meeting men. He entered in a few what he described as soul-destroying relationships.
That's very sad.
Yeah. So, but at least he was embracing his sexuality.
Yeah.
He finally, you know, he wasn't trying to say, like, make up things as to why he wasn't gay. Mm-hmm. Like, he was like, okay, this is who I am. Let's do this.
Yeah.
So, I mean, hey. Dennis's biological father passed away, leaving him and his siblings £1,000 or 10,360 pounds in today's money, which is equal to about $13,000 in U.S. money.
Okay. So that's like a lot of money at the time.
It's a good chunk.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah. And I mean, especially for the time. Like now it's like, oh, okay, cool. You can pay rent for like
2 months.
2 months.
If you want to buy food like a month and a half.
Right. And if you have a car, it's one month.
Exactly one month.
So after that, Dennis resigned from the police force.
He retired at the young.
He retired at the age of. Yeah. And from 1973 to 1974, Dennis was a security guard. And then after that, he found work as a civil servant. Basically, his job was to help other people find jobs. And Dennis's coworkers described him as a quiet loner, but he always volunteered to work overtime. So they liked him.
Yeah.
Because he didn't have any friends and he didn't have anything else to do. So he was like, yeah, sure, I'll take your shift. And they were like, cool.
Deeply sad.
No. In 1975, Dennis met a man who would be the closest thing to a long-term relationship he would ever have. Mind you, Dennis is 30 at this time, and up until this point, he has not committed any murders.
Love that.
So, yeah, he's molested his siblings.
Not great.
He's masturbated all over the place.
I mean.
But he hasn't killed anyone yet.
That's great.
Great. It's great. He's just kind of had, like, super messed up thoughts and, like, the sexual abuse of his siblings.
Yeah, other than that, though.
Other than that. But that's fascinating to me. He's 30 years old.
Yeah.
And there hasn't been anything yet.
He's a late bloomer.
Late bloomer. So Dennis met a 20-year-old man named David Galachan when he was being threatened. So David was being threatened outside of a pub by two other men. And Dennis stepped in and he sort of like rescued David. And then they went back to Dennis's apartment or flat, since we're in the UK. And they spent the rest of the night together, talking and drinking and whatnot.
Okay, so he rescued him.
Yeah.
Do we know how tall Dennis Nielsen is?
I didn't, probably. It's probably somewhere online, but I would put him around like 6 feet. I don't know.
He's giving 6 foot energy.
He gives 6 foot energy, right?
He's
very tall and lanky.
Yeah.
Is what he looks like.
I also, you know how I feel about men. Oh, he's 6'2".
Oh, okay. Tracks. So David had recently moved to North London at this time. He was unemployed, he was also gay, and he was currently living in a hostel. So he didn't really have, he was kind of trying to figure out what he was doing. And David spent the night with Dennis, and the next morning, I guess whatever they said during that night, they just really hit it off. Because that very next morning, they decided that they were going to live together.
Oh, that's nice.
Probably because Dennis was like, hey, I got $13,000. And David was like, hey, I just moved here and I don't know anyone and I don't have any place to stay. And Dennis was like, do you want to stay with me? And David was like, yeah.
Yeah, I literally love $13,000. Of course, I would love to move in with you and your money.
I love $13,000 and a house and like a home.
I would love that. That sounds great.
So using the inheritance that he received from his father's passing, Dennis moved him and David into a bigger place. It was a ground floor flat at 195 Melrose Avenue in Cricklewood in London.
Cricklewood.
I know. I love these names. It's like almost like we're like living in a fairy tale, but I also kind of feel like the UK kind of is like a fairy tale. Like all their cute
I'm
little like.
I'm heading down to Cricklewood today to get some right. sweets and lollies.
Right.
Okay.
So before moving into the flat, Dennis negotiated a deal with the landlord to give him and David sole use of the garden in the back of the property. And that will be important in a few. Oh, probably actually like next episode. But just keep that in mind. They were given access to the garden.
To the backyard, yeah.
To the backyard.
Okay.
Their relationship was kind of a strange one. Dennis took on the responsibility of the breadwinner, and then David was in charge of the home. So while Dennis was sexually attracted to David, the pair rarely had sex, but they were sort of living a symbiotic relationship.
But they're like in a relationship. They're like together.
Not what it sounds like to me. As okay. an outside third-party person with, like, no personal interest in
sure.
whatever.
Well, you did the research, so.
It sounds to me like David was kind of using Dennis.
Ah.
Like, well, Dennis met him. He just had moved to London. He didn't have any place to stay. He probably just had, like, a backpack, you know? Like, he was, like, roaming around. And then Dennis was, like, this weird guy with a lot of money who was yeah. like, oh, I'll like, yeah, like, let's do this. Because also at this time, Dennis he's never been like really in a relationship.
Right.
And he's like kind of, he's lonely as shit. He's craving like mm-hmm. attention and like companionship. So, and David wasn't working. Like David took care of the home. David like furnished the home, like decorated the home. And Dennis was like, okay, well, I'm the breadwinner.
Yeah, so, like, they set up, like, a traditional relationship, if you will.
Right, but like David wasn't into, like, being physical with Dennis. They did, it says that they did have sex, but rarely.
Yeah.
I think Dennis was more into it than David, and I think for David it was just kind of like
That makes sense.
I'm using you, kind
like
of.
Like, I'm living off this man's, like, yeah, sometimes we yeah. can do this.
And if you remember... Dennis is 10 years older than David, too. So David is only 20 and Dennis is 30.
Mm-hmm.
So as time went on, they actually decided to sleep in separate beds and they became more like roommates. But Dennis paid for everything. So they were more like roommates, both bringing home different sex partners here and there. And then through all of his time living with Dennis, David said that Dennis was never physically abusive towards him. He was verbally abusive sometimes, right. But I feel like anyone can get into an argument with somebody and yeah, whatever.
Yeah, for sure.
So Dennis never tried to kill David, never tried to
That's interesting.
Anything with him.
Yeah. Well, he might have liked him, you know.
I think he did. But yeah. But still, I mean, we'll see later on that the ones that he likes, he wants to keep.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe this situation was like what kind of made him start doing that, cuz David left him and he was like, "Well, you know."
Yeah.
In 1977, so this is 2 years after the two of them are living together, they got into a very heated argument. I'm not sure what it was about, but it ended with Dennis telling David that he needed to leave. And then after this argument, the pair parted ways. And after David, Dennis continued seeing men, but no one moved in and his relationships didn't ever last as long as his relationship with David.
Which was a 2 year. So his longest relationship is 2 years.
It was 2 years, yeah.
And it's like a half relationship.
Right.
Okay.
And he like, no one ever moves in with him. He doesn't ever live with another man or woman or anyone.
Okay.
So for the next...
That's great, though, because he can jack off wherever he wants, and no one can say anything.
He can also murder people and keep them in his floorboards whenever he wants.
I mean, spoiler.
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 But he, right now, is just like, what's up, Gary? It's been a while.
He's like, I'm free!
He, like, risky businesses himself every morning, slides in.
No, he Barry Keoghan's at the end of Saltburn throughout his... flat by himself.
There's murder on the dance floor.
Right. He switched his favorite songs.
Yeah.
So for the next 18 months, Dennis was very lonely, and he came to this conclusion that he was unfit to live with. Like, he's just, like, kind of, like, in his own, like, wallowing in his own sorrow, like, no one loves me, and no one wants to live with me, and I'm just unfit.
What's a piece of me?
Well, he's Scottish, so.
Oh, yeah.
He's just living in London.
Oh, right. Sorry.
So he buried himself in his work, and he would spend most of his time, most of his evenings getting drunk and listening to music by himself in his flat.
But there were only two songs he listened to.
Just the two songs.
Goodbye Horses and Murder on the Dance Floor.
Murder on the Dance Floor. Which hadn't come out yet, but you know what? He somehow got a hold of it, so.
It's amazing. It's incredible.
But Dennis's quiet existence would soon turn sinister.
This is the part in the true crime doc where they turn the photo into a negative image.
Yes. It's like a picture of him and then it turns negative. Right now.
Right now.
From 1978 to 1983, Dennis would go on a killing spree, confessing to killing 15 or 16 men and also attempting to kill 7. He preyed mostly on homeless men or men searching, like needing something, kind of like David. And a lot of times he would meet these men in gay bars and he would lure these men back to his flat with the promise of alcohol and sometimes just like even a place to stay.
Mm.
Another big Dahmer vibe we got going here.
Oh, for sure.
So I think that might be where we're going to end here.
Okay.
So next week, we're going to jump right into the murders. And they're a lot. So just, yeah.
Okay. All right. Cool. So that's a little background on our boy, Dennis Andrew Nielsen.
Mm-hmm.
The middle child with...
The Sagittarian middle child with the
fucked up psyche.
the messed up fantasies.
Yes. Great playlist, though.
All two of those songs.
All two of those songs
are great.
I'm gonna make a playlist with just those two songs. And I'm gonna post it on Instagram.
Yeah, so stay tuned because next week the murders is that's when the messed up stuff happens. And then we'll also see because spoiler, he gets caught. So I don't know. Always the interesting part for me is like what is going on in his head, like,
yeah.
Who, like, how did they classify him? So, yeah. So we'll also get into that and then, like, what he was charged with. And there's also a little, like, kind of cute story, but it's also kind of sad. But I'm not going to spoil anything.
Oh, is that the love story part?
No. Kind of, actually.
Oh, okay.
I don't know. It's not a love story.
Oh, okay. Okay. Cool.
So, actually, the love story part is actually kind of happening in part two. But, yeah. So... stay tuned.
I want to put in my one little note here that I would just like to add to this beautifully researched story. I Google imaged Dennis Nielsen and he looks so much like David Tennant to me.
That's so funny that you say that. Are you sure you're not looking at a picture of David
like
Tennant
him.
Because he played him in a movie?
Did he?
Yeah,
he played. Because he looks like him.
They did. Like I said, this case is extremely popular in the UK. Like Dennis Nielsen is. Like the Dahmer
of
the UK. Yeah. So there's a ton of books on him. There are documentaries. David Tennant played him in a movie like of his life. So
dude, they look identical.
I know they do, don't they?
This is crazy.
So I was like, are you sure you're not actually looking at a picture of David Tennant as Dennis?
I wasn't, but I just looked. Just found him and they look identical.
Yeah.
They look identical.
The doctor.
That's amazing.
But yeah.
That's incredible. All right. Well, stay tuned for part two. Have a wonderful Valentine's Galentine's.
Yes.
We love all of you so much. And remember that we are always your Valentine's and always your Galentine's. Also, your left hand can be if you name it Gary.
That's true.
Yeah, for sure.
It's very true. And as always, remember to celebrate the strange
and keep it unusual.
Bye.